Ephesians 4. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word, Holy Spirit. We thank you for breathing on the word so that it can become alive to us and we'll be able to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4. You know, we've been going on the scripture all year. Welcome back from your break. I had a good break. I hope you did also. Oh, so y'all didn't, huh, y'all? Usually everybody be like, yeah, good break. I learned something a couple of days ago. The Holy Spirit started showing me something about the church. And he said, y'all been trying to do church. He said, what y'all been trying to make the church to be is all wrong. And I said, well, you know, he takes them like that. I'm like, oh, goodness, what are we doing? And he said, some of the things you're trying to make, and I'm talking about the church house right now, some of the things you're trying to make the church house is not what I intended for it to be. And he just started dealing about the church house, the correlation between the church house and us as the church, what's supposed to be going on, what's the main purpose. And I started looking through scriptures. He started showing me some things. We'll do a little reading first, just to kind of rehash the chapter, and then we'll go into it. I, therefore, the prisoner of the law, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's important, walk worthy. You can underline that, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. All right? Not the one that you chose, but the one that you are called to. Everybody say called. Right? A lot of people go, but not a lot of people are called. All right? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. You know, let's do something real quick. And I made this statement that a lot of people go, but not many are called. Let's find that scripture. I'm going to look for it, too. Many are called, but chosen a few. Let's look at it for a second. We'll do a little Bible study. Yeah, I found it, Matthew 22, and I didn't even have a plan on doing this, but verse 22, and what Jesus was doing when he was here, Jesus was revealing the Father. He was showing us an example of who we're supposed to be as individuals in Christ and in God. But he's also training us on how we're supposed to do the church. You know, we go over and over again that Jesus was he's the cornerstone of the church. He's the base and the foundation. He's the example of what church is and what church should be. The whole time while Jesus was here, he was training. The whole time, the entire time. He never spent much time just babbling or talking about things that didn't matter. At least we don't see any record of it. Jesus was training the whole time. Every time he opened up his mouth, it was some kind of training. Even when he was answering questions from the Pharisees, there was training on the inside. Everybody say training. Everybody say training. It's great, this ever-increasing word, training center. We changed it from ministry school to training center. All right, but it means the same thing. Ministry is training. You have to be trained for ministry. All right, chapter 22, and we'll start off at the beginning. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent for the servants to call for them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, you see that, and went their ways. Underline that. They made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw the man, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. He said to him, friend, How came it out here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, you read it, ready to read. Read it again. One more time. So many are called, but few are chosen. I'm thinking about another scripture. Now the Bible talks about the wide path and the narrow path. Y'all know that scripture, right? There's a wide path, narrow path. It says not a lot of people are gonna go to that narrow path. The Lord showed me something else about that, and I'll get to it a little later. But right here, he's calling for them to come to the marriage. He's got something prepared for them and calling for them to come to something that he's prepared. At this time, it's a marriage for his son, so it's a very important thing. If you really want to get deep about it, you know, Jesus is the groom, and we're the bridegroom, all right? So you get preparing a marriage for his son. And he's preparing for a connection there, and he wants people to come, but they weren't fit. Some of them even went their own ways. You see, we underline, they didn't come, they went their own ways. And the key word I want to say is they weren't fit. They were not fit. They were not fit. Even one guy that decided to come, but he didn't come dressed right. It wasn't fit. Go back to Ephesians 4, and I don't want to get ahead of myself before I jump into what we're talking about. I caught up with the first scripture. I'll start reading. You just go ahead and flip back over. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, who is above all and through all and in you all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, you read. Ready, read. So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, we talk about love a lot in church, and I have my feelings about, you know, how we can be as church people sometimes. We judging people, and we don't like to be friendly to people, and we always pointing the finger at somebody else, and you got four other fingers pointing right back at you, you know, and sometimes you forget where you came from. And so that still stands. But the Holy Spirit told me the other day, we had ministers' conference last week. Anybody came to ministers' conference, that was powerful, changed my life. And we were leaving one morning. You have to know, I know Apostle. I know him from my father to my spiritual father, from my physical father to my spiritual father. So, you know, he'll cut you real quick. He'll cut you real quick. He'll keep you in line. He'll cut you real quick. And then, you know, he'll cut me real fast. Me and my brother, he'll cut us real fast. Wop. Like right there. And sometimes you feel it. Like, ooh, why you had to cut me like that? Why you had to say it like that? You know, sometimes he'll say something in church and it'll cut. You're like, whew. And you look around and be like, girl, you heard that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, man, why? He said it's kind of strong. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can take that. And so, you know, I listening, and you know, I'm always the type of person, I done took the whoopings after whoopings, so you take the whooping, you get up, dust yourself off, keep running, right? And the Lord said something, and I wasn't even talking to the Lord about this, but he just started talking to me. He said, you know, he said what I told you before. He said, what y'all got? He said, what you trying to make the, I wasn't even praying, I wasn't talking about this, I wasn't thinking about it. He said, what you trying to make the church look like, and what a lot of times we trying to make the church be, ain't what I call for it to be. Talking about the church house and when we meet here as a congregation. I said, what you mean, Lord? Well, you know, we want everybody to, you know, the greeters at the front door, and they smile at everybody when they come in, and, you know, we want everybody to be sociable, and you still should speak to people when you see them. And I always tell people, if you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know, that ain't even a church thing. That's just human nature. If you sit on the bus next to somebody, good morning, you know, just normal human things. Like, that's not a church thing. That's a human thing. So I get it. Somebody needs some help. You tell them where to restroom is. I mean, you should be friendly. But he said, I didn't call for the church to be a friendly social gathering. He said, I didn't call for y'all. He said, who told y'all the doors of the church is open? He said, I didn't call for y'all. He said, it's amazing to me that people, anybody in here ever been to the military? Anybody ever done anything in the military? Nothing to do with the military. He says, amazing to me. He said, my church is a training center. I said, well, I'm talking to God like he don't know. You're talking, like, you know, you answer time like, God, no, we got the training. No, he said, no, the church. He said, we're like Christ Center, the training center, and apostles in general. He said, it's amazing to me how people can go to the military. He said, start thinking about the military for a minute. Think about how it works. I said, well, I've never been, Lord. He said, but you're kind of familiar with, you know, how it worked with the boot camp and how they do it, the basic training. He said, they don't just let everybody in there. He said, civilians just can't even walk up on the training camp. I said, all right, Lord. I said, what, you know, I know we can't, you know, lock nobody out, you know what I'm saying? But he said, you know, and when the first thing the drill sergeant tell you, he called you a maggot. Y'all seen these army movies, huh? He called you ain't no good maggot. Get down and give me 50. You ain't no good. Shave your head. You think you somebody, I'm about to kill your identity so I can show you who you really are. Talk to you real strong, don't they? And they don't care how you feel. And just because you sign up don't mean you make it in. Just because I remember for us, when I was going to my senior year of high school, I couldn't register for my senior year without registering for the draft. Like they actually, I don't know what, I guess that year they might do, but they were actually making you register. You had to put your name on the register to vote and for the draft before you can register for your senior year of high school. When you first walk in there, it don't matter what part of the Army you're going, what part of the Navy, whatever, the Air Force, whatever, they come in. And they jerk every bit of what you think you know away from you. And they let you know that you don't know nothing. I got one of my young friends that just went to the Air Force, and he came back for Christmas. And he came back different. He came back quiet. He came back stronger. He came back more respectful. And not that he wasn't respectful before, but he had a different sense of mindset because he had been broken down and built up. And he started explaining to me, he said, you don't even understand. He said, bro, he said, man, they had grown men out there crying. He said, then everybody didn't graduate. He said, because just you signed up and you went in there, he said, you still had to go through all the training and take everything. He said, we wasn't getting much sleep or nothing. He said, it was so hard. He said, probably the hardest thing I've done in my life. But he said, because we made it through, he said, now when we go back, we still got training, but now we're going to the next level of training. And they're teaching us the next things that we need to know. And the Lord said, why is that okay, but it's not okay for my house? He said, we don't just let everybody walk up and just start calling themselves what they want to call themselves. Well, I'm a reverend such and such now. Because you didn't got touched by the Holy Spirit on Sunday, now you a preacher. No, we got to go through this basic training. You got to get down and give me 50. And if you don't do it in time, you're going to get down and give me 50 more. And if you don't do that in time, you get down, say something crazy. Speak out of turn. Get down and give me 50. Why you wasn't on time? Get down and give me 50. I mean, they make them shave their heads, everything in the military. He said it's a training camp. Because he said, so now that's why he talked to you so strong. This is why he talked to y'all so strong. He said, especially y'all church, talking about Word Life. He said, especially Word Life, definitely a training center. Training the church how to be the church. We at church training to be the church. It's scripture talking about they wasn't fit. They wasn't fit. He even started talking to me about wearing suits. You know, because I wear suits. I have no problem wearing suits. I like wearing suits. Everybody's more comfortable wearing some regular clothes, though, right? Tell the truth. Then we'll be honest. If we can just wear some jeans to middle school, free dress day, right? I don't say nothing Montreal saying about free dress day. But, you know, everybody's much more comfortable that way. You know what I'm saying? You don't just hang around the house with your middle school clothes on, right? Right? But he said, well, why? He said, them people don't. He said, they make them tuck their shirt in. He said they give them inspections. He said they wear uniform. Everybody said uniform. They wear uniform. I said, oh, but this is the uniform for what we got to do. Now, you may not wear this every day. You know, they wear uniforms. And Lord, start breaking me down, man, and I'm just to talk about it. They wear uniforms on the base, whether it's a training camp, it's the base, like it's a Navy base, the Army base, whatever kind of base it is, they're wearing uniforms because everybody's in uniform because we got to be ready to go. But when they drop them off somewhere, sometimes they have camouflage on. Sometimes they wear something to fit into the area that they're in. Sometimes they have something different to be able to move around. They have different things on. But when you're on base, we're training you, because if you don't get training, you don't know how to line up, then number one, you'll get yourself killed, and number two, you'll get somebody else killed because you're not lined up and you haven't been trained properly. Now, that's happening all over the world from church to church. And these churches say, we're a place for, we're a place for hurting people. Well, I understand that. There's an infirmary on all of the Army bases. Break a finger, we got an infirmary, the little place where we take you to the little hospital. We'll wrap you up. Sometimes they come back from more injured. We'll bring you back to the base and patch you up, but we're only patching you up to get you back in the training so we can get you back on this field. You get it? We're not a hospital. Hospitals are hospitals. Restaurants are restaurants. Training camp is training camp. You get it? It doesn't negate being friendly. You can smile. I know people smile at each other, you know. It doesn't negate telling somebody good morning. Once again, I won't say that, but we came here to be trained. You know, a lot of strong people in this church, I pay attention to them. I sit in our church and I pay attention. And a lot of the strong people, a lot of people have church all wrong. They come for all the different reasons. That lady called one day and she said, you know, I'm thinking about leaving my church. I need prayer. She was somewhere, another state. I'm thinking about leaving my church. And we talked to her, what's going on? Like, what's the problem? She was like, I don't know, people just not friendly. You know, nobody really speaks to me whatever, you know, and nobody talks to me when I come in. And we asked the lady, well, is the word good? Like, are you getting blessed by the word? Is the word changing? Well, yeah, the word is good. I have no problem with the word. And you feel like the Lord called you there? Yeah. She said, but just the people not speaking. Nobody speak to me when I come. And in my mind, and I don't know who, I left the conversation after that. Like, in my head, I wasn't talking to him. I was just listening. After that, I left the conversation, and I just started thinking about church as a whole. No, nobody, you're not coming here for nobody to speak to you. You don't go to church to have no social gathering. You came for a social gathering because you think all your friends going to be there. You missed it. Now, your friends can be there. And bless the Lord, you can sit by your friend in class. But that ain't what it's about. Y'all get it? And I know a lot of strong people in our ministry, they could care less if you say hey to them or not. They'll walk into church, and yes, and they're friendly people, but I could care less if you speak to me. You ain't got to, listen, we walk in church, and all thousands of y'all don't speak to me. I didn't come here for y'all, no way. Love you, but I ain't come here for you. I came here to hear what thus said the Lord, where this normal place become a special place, and the presence of God becomes concentrated in this area because all of us are here, and God does something special and shows me something special to be able to take from here and go out of these walls to do and to be able to operate in hostile territory. That's what I came to church for. Yeah, we can sing, praise the Lord. Yeah, we can do all the other things and turn around and greet your neighbor, you know what I'm saying, and tell them, you know, greet your neighbor and tell them, hey, brother, and the visitor stand up. The visitor stand up, and, hey, everybody shake the visitor hand. All that's cool and cute, but that ain't what we're here for. We don't really do a whole lot of that here, you know, because apostle, you don't know what he gonna do when he come to church. You don't know what the schedule is or nothing, but you know God is gonna say something that day is gonna change your life. So that's what it's training. It's training. We are the church, but we come to church to be trained as the church. Think about how much you didn't know a year ago. I know my mind is like, and I thought I was ready. You thought you was ready, huh? I thought I could take the world. I thought, I look back, man, I started doing music, I was 24 years old. And when I first did it, I had all these dreams and ambitions. I said, oh, we ready to go, boom, boom, boom. We're going to take over the world. We're going to take over this industry, bop, 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 bop. And you couldn't tell me that I wasn't ready to go. You told me I wasn't ready to go, I'll fight you. And I had a good zeal. But over the years, this training, God shut doors. And he shut me down. I'm thinking I'm failing, but I'm not failing. I'm just learning. And he's just keeping me in the incubator long enough, because you got a few more things. And then something will happen, and I'll be like, man, I'm glad I didn't go there when I was 24 because I wouldn't have handled this situation right. You get it? I wouldn't have known what to say right here. I would have handled this money wrong. I would have handled this request wrong. I wouldn't have been able to answer that right. Get it? Because I thought I was ready, but I'm training. Everybody say training. Come on, everybody say training. Now, you're not just training in this training center. It's extensive training, but you're also training when you go to church. Whatever church you go to, that's where you're training at. So when you go there, the Lord told me that on Tuesday.
I came back in here sitting different. I came in here like we was at camp. I wasn't looking for no fluff, and there wasn't nothing you were going to say that was going to shake me. Because I understand that this is what we signed up for. Are we going to be another set of stones that get rejected?
Are we going to be stones that's not fit for use? You get it? Are we going to be the ones that keep going my way or going somewhere else or going by what I think? I see it over and over again. I see them come to this school. They come to this school. They come over and over again. And they come to this school, and they'll come sit in the church, try to get what they want, and they won't understand that they're getting trained. It's just training camp. So it's breaking you down to build you up. It's talking about building up. The edifying of the body. So now we go to verse 12. Go back to verse 12. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints. It makes sense now, huh? Does it make a little better sense? Verse 11, he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, until we're measured up to how full Christ measured up. What did he come up to that he didn't have an answer for? What battle did he come to that he didn't have a way to win the victory? What thing did he encounter that he didn't have an answer for? There was none. Until we measure there, we're still in training camp. You know how long that's going to be, huh? Y'all know how long that training camp is? That training camp forever. Y'all, you'll train. In the military, you'll train and be set for deployment. They'll deploy you and send you to Afghanistan. And when you finish your tour, where they bring you? Back to the camp. Debrief you and run it all over again. You know, I can imagine if we could do what we do on Sundays or do what we do in class every day. Well, I don't know. Well, two things. I know if we could do it, we'd be some spiritual juggernauts, if you get what I'm saying, some spiritual giants. But then if we could do it, I don't know if anybody could take it.
Come here, sit down.
You ain't take them colors off. Boom, you ain't no major here. Training, everybody say training. I'm going to say it again, training. If you don't train, you're weak. You do a lot of conditioning training and do a lot of running. Well, why is that? Because you don't know where you're going. You don't know where the next thing going to pop off at. You may be in the jungle. You may be in the desert. You may be in the mountains. You got to be ready for where you got to go. Ain't no time to try to figure out. Well, we don't know where it's happening. But we know that wherever we got to go, the training has to have me ready. If I got to swim, you know, when they do the training, there's a lot of these guys in the church, in the military, they've been Marines and Navy and the Air Force and all these different things. They tell me with the Navy that they're taking the training. As you finish training, on your last set, they drop you in the middle of nowhere, and you got to find your way back. You had to find your way back. Now they give you the tools to find your way back, but if you didn't pay attention, right, or if you halfway ran when it was time to run, right, or if you wasn't, or you know, you come in and you think general don't know what he's talking about. Why you don't got to talk to me like that so you're getting your feelings now? Why you talk to me so strong? It's not in your feelings. So now he gave, he's about to give you 7 steps to successful victory on the military field. But when he got the two is the one that shook you the most because it was your problem. So because it shook you, you got in your feelings about it, right? You got in your feelings about it and you couldn't even hear 3 or 4. And now you finally shook it off and you got back on 5. Then 6 and 7, but you missed 3 or 4. Now you're trying to go find somebody to see if they got it in their notes. You missed 3 or 4, and 3 or 4 is the thing you need to survive. You get it? Tough skin. Everybody say tough skin. Come on, say it again. Tough skin. on, say it again. Tough skin. Let's keep flying. Oh, take that. Let's go. Because we're training. Lord told me, he said, all the supernatural that happens in the house, he said, all right. The Lord said, all right, a 10-minute truth. I said, yes, sir, I'll tell you the truth. If you want me to tell you the truth, I'll tell you the truth. He said, here's why I know that the church and most of the supernatural and most of the battle are going to be outside the walls. I said, yes, sir. He said, because you took all the sinners in Gonzales, y'all don't have enough seats. He said, you took all the sick people in Gonzales. It's right here. You took all the sick people in Gonzales, you don't have enough seats for the sick people in Gonzales.
Come on, here.
They think we come into church and then they want you to go tell somebody so we can get more people in the building, right? And because that's the old thing we've got. That's the old thing. You don't have a successful people, I'll tell you, you have to go to 16 services in 3 locations, right? And I ain't knocking nobody for that. But what I'm saying is, and that's fine if you're training. See, I don't mind any kind of size church. I don't mind any kind of service. I don't mind any location. But you got to be training. Everybody say training. Come on, say
training, then what are you doing? If you're not training, you're hurting me. Every moment that you're not training me or teaching me is a moment that you're pacifying me and you're making me dumb. Because at every moment there's an opportunity, there's the potential.
If I let that moment pass, then I missed a moment of wisdom. You get it? And So now, training, we're training for ministry. So now, he said, I do the supernatural things inside the building. I said, yes, sir. He said, I do them inside the building to train you on how to do the supernatural things outside the building. I'm doing it. I'm using the man of God to show you how to operate in the supernatural so you know when this come up out here, you know exactly how to duplicate that same thing and that same power because the same power is right there. But you got to know how to do it. He said, you're going to give at the altar. What you thought you was giving for? You trying to pay your house note?
Pay your house off, or you trying to pay like the stuff whatever we think we believe in God for? You know, we got all these different things, and you wonder why, I understand why stuff don't come quick enough, because God only told us to pursue one thing. That's it. He didn't say, let's go pursue no wife, no husband, no money, no job, no house, no dream. You know, chase your dreams, right? Chase your dreams. And he said, pursue no dream. He said,
and all these things will be added. So when I go, so, or when I give, you know, I pay my tithe, what am I doing? Am I doing it just because they told me to, or am I catching the revelation? Am I doing it to get, Lord, am I doing it to get, or am I doing it to gain? All right, Lord, show me something about dying. You know, Christ is the way of the church. You know, we quote the scripture, crucified with Christ, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in all of that, it tells me how to be crucified. Crucified with Christ, all right? So, you know, when you crucify, you're dying to who? Who are you dying to? Dying to self. But what you dying to yourself for? Just think about this for a minute. When you die, what are the benefits of dying to yourself? Come on, I'm asking. Ain't no right or wrong. I'm just asking. Like I know, you're like, well, you tell me what the benefits are. You know, it'd be like, want to be more like Christ. It's a good one. All right. So now the benefits of dying to yourself. All right. So now I want to be more like Christ. All right. So what is that? And I ask these questions for a reason. This is good preaching. This is a good way to preach, too. It's a good way to minister to people, all right? That's a question. What is that? What is being more like Christ, all right? And we think of the miracles. They're cool. You know, the miracles are cool, but the miracles are a product of something else. You get it? Many people in church be trying to die because they say they want to get closer to God, right? I'm dying so I can hear the voice of God. Well, if I'm supposed to die like Christ, now we got to figure out how Christ died. How did Christ die, all right? How did Christ die? We know I'm not talking about the nails. We already know about the nails and the thorns and the side, all right? I know all that, all right? But how did he die? Like, what, in what reasoning or what method or what was the purpose of him dying, all right? And I get it now that, you know, people are dying because the pastor told me we need to die, so I'm trying to die. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying hard. And we think dying itself is, you know, my bad ways or whatever. All right, so we're trying to die. We're dying to get closer to God so God can speak to us. Well, Jesus didn't die for God to speak to him because God was speaking to him before he died. He was like, as I hear, I judge. He said he didn't die to get close to God because me and my father are one. So what are we dying for? All right, the next thing. He said, well, he ain't died for the Holy Spirit because he already had the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove at the very beginning of his ministry. So he had access to all that already. So what did he die for? What did he die for? For us. All right. And so now we say Jesus died for others. He died for others. The whole purpose of him being crucified was for others. The whole purpose of him being crucified is so that others would understand how to be crucified for others. It's supposed to be a repeat motion. The whole I think we can be very self-motivated in the things we do sometimes, and I'm gonna get back to that giving in a minute. But we can be very self-motivated in the things we do sometimes, and it's just human nature. It's not a bad thing. Terrible. It's just human nature. We can be very self-motivated about a lot of the things we do when we realize that what we're called to do is for others. You get it? Like my life, my dying is not my, when I go pray in tongues tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If your praying tongues is just for what you want to get direction on, like it's just, then you're missing it. You know, those prayers should be, Lord, if somebody be in my pathway today, let me be all that I need to be. That's why we don't pray that, because we're praying for all our junk. But we don't understand that all our junk be taken care of if we seek him first. All right, he said, you give in church. He said, what happens on the inside is always training you on the outside. It's training you for how to do it on the outside. So I train you how to give on the inside of the church. I train you how to sow seeds on the inside of the church. I train you how to give and be selfless and give of your heart. I train you how to give like that so that way you'll know how to give out there. It's all training. We want to bring up, and I'm not knocking this, y'all. And I know this is, I'm not saying don't bring nobody to church with you. I'm not saying don't bring them to church, but you ought to be able to bring them to church when they see you. Bring them to church in the living room. That don't mean you ain't got to turn no praise and worship tape on or pick up an offering. They don't mean that. But just, when you met them, they already at church. Who the church? All right, so now what's going on inside is training for outside. Then the Lord broke me down and started saying, he started telling me why some churches are so big and why some churches remain a certain size. I'm talking about churches that doing what they're supposed to. You know, there's exceptions to all rules. You know, some churches just stay a little itty bitty because they have no idea where the will of God is. They got some churches that are with slews of people that don't know where the will of God is. All right, but he started showing me how the different parts of he started showing me the different parts of the army and the military. When the war goes on, the whole military is in that.
Army, the push, and then you got special ops. People, you don't know who they are. They just, the special ops, just, you'll never know their names. They just behind the scenes. Y'all remember when they killed Bin Laden? When y'all found out about it? He was good and dead. The people that went and came back. But they got people in special ops that just go do stuff. You don't know where they at. But they being effective in what they're doing. And Lord said, it's really not about bringing no school and I have a bag of fish. The Lord bring whatever you want. He said, but it ain't really, it's just about training the ones that I got. You know, Gideon's army went from 32,000 to 300. You know why? Because there were 32,000, 29,000 some careless people. They wasn't ready for war. Only had 300 ready for war, and that 300 was well able to do what they needed to do under the power of God. It was a training situation. And so he said,
the army is the biggest section of the whole military. And they kind of pretty much bring anybody in. Anybody can pretty much get in the army. You know what I'm saying? The army is the biggest, so they got the largest number of most people. I won't say it's the easiest, but it's harder than for the civilians, but it's not as crazy as the Marines. The Lord said, y'all training some Marines, you some special forces. This is what y'all doing over there. Don't be worried about all these numbers and all that. Just get trained. Get it? Get it? The Air Force training them to fly, don't they? I don't care. Every church should be training. It's not for us to be friendly. It's not for your kids to make friends with other kids. Yeah, they can be friends, but they should be trained from the baby on up to be trained for ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's the point. So now we as the church, when we go to church, should be prepared to be trained as the church. You get it? We're getting trained. I smile, do that. All the stuff you want to do. Good morning, baby. You know, everybody want to kiss, hug. That's cool. Do all of that. But understand, you there to get trained. If you leave there and you don't get trained, then we waste some time. Now, on a whole another level, whatever God is calling us to do, whatever place and ministry God is calling us to do, is going to be our job to be able to train others. Well, you're in the training center, huh? You thought you were in the training center just to get trained? No, you're in the training center to learn how to train. You get it? But you got to be trained first. Now I feel like military now. I feel like it's a military. I feel like we it's just constant learning. I don't have no identity here. When I come here and sit down, don't call me Doctor Nothing. Don't call me Reverend Nobody. I'm a private in the Army. General speaking, I'm listening. Get it? God can use you that way. God can use you here promoted. See, the reason Apostle's been promoted like he was, because he did the same thing. He talks about it sometimes. I know my time is up. He talks about it sometimes. But if you hear him talk about how he was submitted to his spiritual father, it was military style. Spiritual father said, "Be there, I'm there." You got a meeting, I'm at your meeting. And I'm there on time. Like, I'm there looking to see what you got to say. We're going to do the same training. Well, that's the training I want. And so promotion can happen because promotion comes from submission. It don't come from nothing else. Amen.